Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Ruby. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, if you were to summarise some of the major policy issues of 2019, what would they be and why?
This is a very interesting question, particularly, I think, as we end the 2010s. It's been a very interesting decade, which has then had consequences for some of the kind of policy debates and configurations. I think looking ahead to 2020 is probably a good way to start to think about this. And what we have some very big kind of policy kind of issues, and nested within those are some more specific issues. So the big challenge, I think, in 2020, I mean, there's a couple here, the two that jump out, I think, is economic management and how the recently re-elected federal government are going to square the circle, really, in terms of generating economic growth in the face of stagnant wages, very, very high household debt, second highest household debt in the world, and fairly anemic economic growth. And you can see that the division, which is very explicit, it's usually more tacit, but it's a very explicit division between the Reserve Bank and the Governor Philip Lowe, saying that they are basically running out of ammunition in terms of lowering interest rates and encouraging the government to be more proactive, which today they're not particularly willing to be. So that's going to be very interesting. And then connected to that is the issue of inequality, big rise in inequality that we've seen over the past 20 years, really, but it's become much more pronounced since the global financial crisis just over 10 years ago. Oh, so they're the kind of big issues, and then nested within those, there's a whole host of issues. So, for example, intergenerational inequality, we can see that playing out not just in Australia, but internationally. If you look at Europe, you can see the political profiles and electoral profiles are often heavily influenced by age. And you can see that when you look at housing markets and labour markets in the Australian context, and the very different experiences of younger people and older people within housing markets and labour markets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, there is such a growing inequality. And the class divide is kind of just getting larger and larger. So how did social policy attempt to address the issue of homelessness in 2019?
Well, with varying degrees of success. I mean, I think with many, and this is the case with most social policy issues, they tend to be complicated. There's often multiple kind of issues of causation, and then very often marked differences in terms of how to address these issues. The big issue with homelessness, of course, is housing and affordable housing and the lack of affordable housing. And we can see that playing out on a number of levels, from home ownership, which, of course, we see in Melbourne and Sydney. The recent cut in interest rates has served to kind of add more fuel, really, to house prices. But what that has in terms of cascade effects for lower income households, it's really quite profound. So housing market dynamics are part of the issue, but it's often said that most housing problems are really problems of low income and unemployment. And I think one elephant in the room, and we've seen some very interesting debates around this, and quite rightly too, in 2019, which aren't going to go away, is about the very low rate of new start.
Yep.
And it's interesting because you have a number of individuals here who aren't the usual suspects. You have John Howard, you have Arthur Sinodonos, you have the Business Council of Australia, all arguing for an increase in the rate of new start, which hasn't in real terms gone up since the mid-1990s. Now, of course, there's good social reasons for that in terms of, and we know that the impact, and increasingly over the past 10 years, we've seen a lot of work that's focused on the social implications of inequality. Yeah. But we also know that there's economic implications here. New Start is an interesting one, a fairly modest rise to New Start. It's estimated to cost about $3 billion. But in fact, in terms of the added consumption that you're then going to get from that, the real cost is going to be about $1 billion less. So this isn't just digging a hole in the beach and throwing your cash in.
Yeah.
there are consequences here. And that in turn then goes to the heart of where the government is at in terms of, you know, the longstanding debate about what should be the role of governance as opposed to individual agency, really.
Absolutely.
So New Start is, and the debate about New Start is not going to go away. I think this is going to become increasingly pronounced. But it's a specific issue that's nested within this bigger kind of policy landscape, really.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You've got the cost of living over the years has just raised and raised and raised, but New Start hasn't. So you've got people that can't afford to live that maybe could have afforded to live before when living wasn't so darn expensive. But now you've got the cost of everything has gone up, but wages have stayed stagnant and so has New Start.
Exactly. There's a whole series of implications here. And as I said at the beginning, I think the real challenge, it's going to be interesting to see how the government square this circle. The real challenge is how to generate economic growth. And even when you look at the recent changes to, tax in 2019 budget,
It's
pretty clear that they haven't taken inequality particularly seriously.
Absolutely.
Are we likely to see better engagement with this? I'm not convinced. But eventually, I think the government will have to act. I suspect that economic reality will force a change of hand. But it's going to be interesting to see how they square this circle, because the Reserve Bank and the federal government are on very different pages at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think they'll raise the rate in 2020?
I'm not convinced, actually.
I think, but
one thing I am pretty clear about is that there's going to be even more pressure to address New Start. The real conundrum for the government, I mean, if you go back to the Abbott and Joe Hockey governments, or government for 2013, the narrative of lifters and leaners, the kind of vilification of welfare claimants, it's then very difficult to row back from that in terms of raising New Start. So there's some real challenges here, I think, for the federal government in terms of how they manage this. But there's no question that there's very compelling economic and social reasons for raising the rate of New Start. It's one of the lowest equivalent benefits in the OECD.
Absolutely. Now, and you know what, Mark, I completely agree. I don't think it's going to be raised in 2020 either, but I think people are going to start realizing, hey, this actually is having a lasting effect on the class divide and on people's living conditions in general. So last but certainly not least, what do you think are some of the major policy issues that will face our government in 2020? Now, obviously, New Start will probably continue to remain a big one, but what else?
Well, I think there's a whole host of issues. You've alluded to some of these at the start. And as I think, I tend to think in terms of the kind of big picture stuff, very different approaches to economic and social management, and nested within that, you then got these more specific policy conundrums. One issue which, and not just in Australia, but this is really a consequence of what we've seen through the 2010s, is the rise in underemployment. So, for example, unemployment in Australia at the moment is just over 5%. But it's estimated that more than a million Australians are underemployed. In other words, they've got a job, but they're looking for more work. And there's a number of reasons for that. The rise in technology, the little everything boxes that we all carry around in our pockets have certainly facilitated the kind of gig economy. But you can see in Australia and you can see internationally, it's a very interesting challenges for policymakers there in terms of the role of government in terms of regulating the gig economy. There's been some very interesting legal cases that are still kind of rolling through around this, whether delivery drivers are contractors or whether they are actually employed is quite an interesting question.
Yeah.
So that is going to become more pronounced. I think housing market dynamics are going to become even more pronounced, and the conundrum really is for the government. We heard just recently Josh Frydenberg talking about the lack of spending and the timing isn't quite right. But it's, I think, with very high household debt, it's around about 120% of GDP, which is second only to the Swiss. It's no surprise that households aren't spending, and yet unless they're spending, it's difficult to see how wage growth will rise, and then all of the attendant issues that flow from that. So I think we're in for an interesting 2020, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mark. This has been yet another awesome conversation. I just had the lovely Mary Crawford on before, and we had a great conversation about how it's hard to be optimistic with what's been happening in 2019. But this has been fantastic.
And certainly in terms of predicting the future, I'm always reticent about predicting the future because I always think of the A&R man, the Decca A&R man who famously auditioned the Beatles in the early 1960s and said, thank you, but no thanks, because you know what, boys, guitar bands are on the way out, which didn't prove to be particularly prescient, really.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark.
No worries. Thanks, Ruby. Take care.